fulfilled what you said then, what has been done, what's still to happen, Lord God. We understand that this is a revelation of Jesus, and letters have been sent out, Lord God, to seven churches that existed at that time, Lord God, and stuff has happened in the lives of those people, like stuff has happened in our lives, Lord God. But what you want us to hear for today, for here and now, we trust that you speak that into our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. To pick up where we left off last week's folks, we spoke about how Jesus is introduced at the start of each of those letters, and how the letters written then is very different to what we do and how we write today. Today, we start off where we address the person that the letter's for, and then the person that writes the letter, the author, is at the end. But yeah, these letters are written differently. There's description given of who Jesus is in the beginning, and then to whom the letter is addressed afterwards. And it describes a beautiful description of who Jesus is. And the descriptions are specific to help us understand who Jesus is for today, to bring deliverance and victory in all the challenges that we face today and the challenges that we're still going to face to the future. At the time, God gave Jesus a revelation. The Lord sent his angel to John with seven letters to seven churches that at the time existed in modern day Turkey. So where Turkey is today, these churches were around. They started in the north and worked their way down geographically like that. These letters were written to these churches. And we're going to see what was told to the churches, how relevant it is for us today. So as you sit there, trust the Holy Spirit to speak into your heart and to give you your message for today, how this is applicable to you today. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 1 to 7, all our texts this morning come from the New King James Translation. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, and we know in the context here, the angels spoken of here is the pastors of the churches. These things says he who holds the seven, no, sorry, the stars is the pastors, not the angels yet. Just let me get my theology correct. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. God's saying what's going to happen to that church unless they repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, grab these things on the side of your head and pull them quickly. That doesn't mean you have an ear in this context. It means you've got some physical attachment that's on the side of your head. But this is speaking about spiritual discernment, a heart that is open and willing and receptive, willing to receive what God has to say. He who has an ear, he who is willing to listen, he who is willing to hear, to listen and apply, he who is willing to change and to do something about what he or she hears. That's what this is saying, church. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Imagine you being in that church, and this letter, this message from the Apostle John eventually gets to you in the church. Imagine you sitting there one Sunday and a message either directly via John or someone else comes and says, God has said this to you about your church. I know your works. And he goes through the good things and he says, but you've lost your first love. Remember where you have fallen from. And if you don't repent, I'm going to remove your lampstand from its face. I'm just going to just wipe this church off the face of the earth. If you don't imagine God coming and speaking that to this church. Imagine saying, guys, these are the things you do. So how does this apply? We're going to see at these churches as we go through them, there's the good, there's the bad, there's the commandment, and there's the application for us today. So what is the good year? This speaks of a church that labors, a church that works. How many of you, don't raise your hands, labor as a Christian? You do effort as a Christian. You make the time and the effort to maybe go a little bit early or just end the jaw a little bit early so that you can wake up earlier. So you can just put in a little bit of extra effort to read the scriptures, to pray a little bit more, to party a little bit less hard. I remember once I was born again, the church I was going to at the time, I decided I'm going to go on Saturday nights so that I don't have to wake up so early on Sunday morning coming back from the Jaws. Those days we used to club. I don't think there were raves then, but we used to go from club to club to club. And we used to dance, and I did all of the song. Stone cold sober, my sins were of another nature. I didn't want to be under the influence of anything. I wanted to be in full control because at my best, I was out of control anyway. And I remember thinking, you know, I'd just go jaw on a Saturday night so that I don't have to wake up early on Sunday morning for church. I'd do my Christian duty on the Saturday night. I'd go to a Saturday night service. And then, well, that's it. I've done. And then hit the jaw, China. And then I'd lust, and I'd perv, and I'd curse, and I'd fluk, and I'd just khan an. This was after I was born again. You know? I was a work of grace in progress, and I'm still a work of grace in progress today. And then things start to change. And you realize you've got to sacrifice things. You've got to labor. And folks, your whole walk of life as a Christian is like this. You start off as a believer. You believe, all right? Then you realize that this actually takes work. I need to discipline myself to be able to do certain things. You've got to discipline yourself when your flesh is crying out for one thing and you know the Spirit of God is telling you to do something else. You've got to exercise discipline. Then you realize from a believer, I've got to become a disciple. I've got to become a disciple. You think, well, that's great, that's wonderful. But guess what? Even the disciples forsook Jesus in his hours of greatest need. You see, Rise, even as a disciple, I've got to go from, well, I'm a disciple. Once is a disciple. Hallelujah. Years ago in CMA, the different chapters had different names. One of the chapters in the West Rand Reader Book is called Disciples. We were disciples. So you go from being a believer to a disciple. From a disciple, you realize there's more to this. There's more to this. God, well, I've missed a stage. Sorry, I've messed it up royally this morning. But you go from being a believer to serving. That's it. You go to serving. Somehow, I want to do this, I want to do that. I want to be an usher, or I want to serve at the coffee, or I want to be on the intercessory team, or I want to be a care group leader, or whatever. I want to serve somewhere. You go from being a believer to a servant. And then you realize serving requires discipline. Okay. I've already said everything about discipline and discipleship. Then you're a disciple and you're on your way. And then Jesus speaks about how servants are like not in the master's house. And then you see, well, disciples even deserted Jesus. What is there then left in Christian growth, folks? And God says, no, you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Sons and daughters, where do they live before they start working for themselves and get jobs for themselves and find life's partners for themselves? They live in the house, in the home with daddy. If you had the privilege of growing up with a father, some folks haven't. So there's that process. You realize there's labor involved. So don't raise up your hands. How many of you know that as a Christian, there's labor involved? It involves labor. And the Lord recognizes this. He says, I see your labor and how you have patience. How many of you know it requires patience? Especially with who? Especially with other Christians. Especially with other Christians. You know, I've said this oftentimes, and if you haven't heard it, you're going to hear it this morning. All you need to do to get offended and upset is come to church. Somewhere along the line. And if it's in this church, it will probably be me. I can eat say, you can unstuart neem. And you can think, this suck. Who the hell does he think he is? Just because he's got a mic. Wat doen hulle met die geld in any case, he saw by die kerk? All you need to do to get offended is just keep coming to church. Somehow, somewhere along the line, somebody is going to rub you up the wrong way. But that's why Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of another. We've got to go through those difficulties, folks. We've got to love each other regardless and make room for each other's mistakes. And make a decision, folks, if we can't get it right amongst you, how are we going to export the love of Jesus to a dying world? If we can't love each other, yell us, oh look. If we can't love each other, how are you going to love people that want to take you out just because you identify as a Christian? How are you going to love those folks, people? Come on, man. Is this ministering to anybody this morning? That requires love. That requires patience. It goes on to say, I've seen and you have been tested. You've tested and seen that those who say they are apostles, but they're not. What did an apostle do? An apostle came and set things in order in the churches. He came and helped them get things right. They had certain things in place, but it was just the order just wasn't right. Or some things weren't there that should have been, and some things were there that shouldn't. An apostle would come and he'd set things in order. He says, see that you have tested those that say that they are apostles, but they are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered. It requires perseverance. Years ago, when I was practicing the martial arts, we had a guest athlete that came to visit us called Chuck Coker. At the time, in his 60s, he held the Guinness Book of World Records for the most amount of push-ups done by any human being from start to finish ever. I don't remember how many their push-ups were. He was like Chuck Norris. You know how many push-ups Chuck Norris can do? All of them. This guy done all of them. And he came to speak to us about how you get there, how the strongest muscle is actually your mind. You start there. And he spoke about a PTA barrier, and it wasn't the Parents Teachers Association. It was pain. Then you endure so much of the pain, it becomes torture. And then pain gets to torture, and then you endure torture so long that it actually becomes agony where you want to end it all. And once you pass that, then you get to the point where your mind says, listen, this ogre's busy self-destructing. Let us help him out. And you go through that. So you go through labor and patience and being tested and perseverance. And you say, how many times must I keep on keeping on, Mozzie? I don't know. How many times must I forgive? I don't know. 70 times 7 doesn't mean 490. It means you just keep on. As long as there's true repentance. And as long as there's fruit of repentance, you keep forgiving. Not when there's no fruit of repentance. Hello? Hello? There's a difference, church. You read Luke 17. It describes very specifically what this forgiveness deal is all about. It means to come in and say, yeah, you know, I'll sin now and repent later. There must be works befitting repentance. You go through this stuff. He says, I've seen this. And what is bad about this? Their first love. Now their first love. Hey, we sing about this, you know. You know, Lord, relight the flames of my first love that burned with holy fear. What is that? I don't know what it's like for you, but remember the time when all you could think about was Jesus. Remember that time. Remember before social media encroached. Remember that time before you came to church and you didn't sit in church and you were on your cell phone in church. Remember the time before that happened. Remember that time when all you could think about was Jesus. You wake up in the morning, think about Jesus. You go to sleep, think about Jesus. Remember the time when they, like it's the Aquafresh toothpaste, the colors are red, white, and blue. And when the pressure of life came and the pawpaw hit the fan and was squeezed, the colors that came out were actually red, white, and blue instead of off for 5, 6. And you speak in tongues and do all sorts of things. Yesterday, I got a witness. Where's my witness? Where's Brother Delport this morning? Where's Stephen there? Incident in the traffic. I got the victory for the first time in a long time. Hallelujah. A guy, I didn't give him a new name. He kept the name that his parents gave him. I didn't rebaptize him with a new name. He cut in front of him and I had to slam on anchors and praise God the buck. He had ABS. With the ABS and the traction control, the thing was snaking like this. Ask, there's the witness. I didn't get angry. I didn't fluk. I didn't scowl. I just said, bless him, Lord. I said, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it felt so good. It felt so good. There was a time in my life where that was normal. There's a time in my life where I wasn't so easily distracted by stuff. Remember that first love? And says, God says to them, I want you to think about where you've come from. Think about that. And I think, we talk about this. Remember the good old days when those days are never, ever, 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 ever going to come back again, church. That must be the foundation, the springboard for the best that's yet to come. You see, God is a builder. Hy breek nie af nie. He builds. He's a master builder. And he wants us to go from glory to glory. And this was the issue in this church. I'll see you later. And we might be like that in our worship, like Louis said this morning. He didn't know what's on my heart. He came to me and he said, Moses, I want to speak about the worship. Little did he know that I've been thinking, I want to send a text to the deep end, the sound engineers, everyone all together and say, guys, get together because something has got to change with what happens here musically. Nou moenie net daar sink. Ja, is hoogtyd dat die diep end regkom. Nee, ons moet regkom, julle. I'm busy going through a book that was blessed to me by Gerard and Rissa called The Awe of God. And John Bevere describes, he says, you know, God's not going to manifest and show his presence and his glory where the people don't have the awe and reverence and honor and respect that he deserves. He describes how he was invited as a guest speaker to the country of Brazil. And the worship team was the best in that country. But he wasn't sensing the presence of God. And he asked the Holy Spirit why. And the Holy Spirit showed him the people. The people were talking and running on and laughing and distracted. They were on their phones. Some people were going to the kiosk and buying stuff. While the worship was going on, they were talking and chatting and running on. Most of them were sitting like this. And if you're sitting like this morning, don't feel bad. It just might be where you're at and that's cool. Maar die ding is, dat was die posisie van die arms vir die issue, was die gesindheid van die hart. The people were, and he describes how he started. He didn't even say, hi, I'm John Bevere, it's good to be in Brazil. He said, imagine what it's like if you're standing in front of somebody and you're trying to talk to them and they're like, like a guy suffering from an inferiority complex. He goes to the doctor, he says, doctor, doctor, everybody keeps ignoring me. Doctor tunes him, next. Imagine you're trying to speak to somebody and their attention's just elsewhere like that. Remember you go visit somebody and it's like, oh no, it's just you again. And they carry on doing whatever it is, washing the dishes, cleaning the bike, feeding the dog's poo or whatever, or I don't know, something. And you come to visit, you're going to stop visiting. And that was the condition of those people's hearts. He says, imagine what's like it. He says, we're like that here. We're not giving God, the creator of everything, the honor and respect that he's due. And he spoke like that. And the people just started, I don't know what happened, and then the people started, and then there was a move of God, and you got to read the rest of the book to get what happens. But folks, what if it's like that? We on sit a wonderlike gebou, and I love this place. I love what the people have done. They've just, you know what, they've put their money where their mouth is. It's great. But what if our hearts are at this place? Where we've lost our, you feel like, yes, hoeveel langer gaan hy dan nog preek, man? I know these verses anyway. I just want to get out of here. Huh? You know, folks, I know we people. I get that and I understand that. I understand that the average human being can only take approximately 30 minutes of sitting on your blessed assurance and listening. That's why I've pastors. I want you to turn around and see on the wall is the biggest clock here. And that tells me, 30 minutes, dan moet jy klaar maak. Hoekom is dit so? So, we had somebody that used to visit us in the old building years ago. And he said, you know, Mozzie, it's great. I love your message. And you've just got away with it, you know. Jy praat ons taal. And I said, yeah, whatever, man. You know. But the music is just too long. And I was like, yeah, you know, some people complain that the music's too short. You know. We just get the music over so you can preach and whatever. And the music is too long. You know? I said, oh, okay. What do you think of your favorite movie? Thomas said, how long is that movie? No, it's like 120 hours. It's over 2 hours. Yeah, I said, and that's not too long? I submit to you that it's not a question of time, but a question of appetite. If you don't have an appetite for the things of God, all of my messages will be too long, whether they're 5 minutes or 50 minutes. One song or 16 songs will be too long because it's the attitude of our hearts that's not right. And the letters written to this church, men, consider your first love where you come from. Get back to your first love. Well, what are the consequences? You will be removed from its place. Listen, this church is as big or as small as it is. We're entrusted with the amount of people that we can be trusted with. Have you thought about that? God has entrusted us with the amount of people we can be trusted with. Maybe right now, all of us are not ready to tell other people about Jesus. Maybe all of us are not welcome, are not willing to welcome the Beckys and the Adamses of the world into our midst. Maybe we're not willing to do that. Maybe that's why not all the church, not all the seats are full. Maybe that's why we haven't needed to get a bigger place already like we'd hoped and entrusted. You know, we're already over 75% full. So according to those people, they know we should have had a bigger place already. But anyway, you understand what they say, you know. Maybe we're at this place where we need to repent. It says, you will be removed from your place. What is our place? Our prayer is the leadership of this church, and it should be yours as well, that the impact of this church will always, always be greater than its size. That the impact we have on people's lives, what we do here on a Sunday, does it affect the day-to-day life of the people that come on a Sunday? Does it affect them? Is there a time when the Holy Spirit quickens something to their mind and remember that which I sang, or remember how I felt there, Lord? And I know it's not about our feelings, but the Holy Spirit gets poured out on all. Who said flesh? Yes. The Holy Spirit gets poured out on all flesh. So you do feel in your body. Remember that time Mozzie said this, or I went to care group and stuff like that, and they shared this, and you know, remember. So does it affect the day-to-day life of the people, church? It must be like that. And this church had fallen from their first love. So what is the command? What do we need to do? Wat doen ons omtrent dit? How do we fix this? We repent. We repent. We repent. We repent. So church, how does that apply to us this morning? I don't know about you, but I say that we repent. I say that we repent. You see, I might be the pastor of this church, but I'm going to be the one that's held first accountable for what happens here. If I ever get to a place where I come up here and I'm not intimidated and the butterflies aren't flying and the adrenaline's not pumping, I'm in a dangerous place. If I ever get up here and think, I got this. I've got a big mouth. I can hoy it. I'll hoy a joke or two, let the people giggle a bit, and then it's going to be okay. No. I've got to know and understand, like each one of us, we're going to be held accountable for every single word that we speak. Every single word. When we come to church, may we come with expectancy. It's okay to enjoy each other's company and to laugh and to talk about other things. But folks, let's give Him the honor that is due His name. Let's give Him the glory that is due His name. Let's expect the Spirit of God to move, that from the first time one of those strings are plucked, or the first time a note is sung, or the first time our hands are lifted up, that what's important is that our heart is at such a place that God, that any kan, hy kan nie anders nie as om hier op te daag en die mense se lewens begin te verander. May it be like that. And how do we do that? I've got to come ready. I've got to come ready. How many of you practice a sport? You do some kind of a sport. Okay, what's a sport beoefen jy sien? Cross country. Can he rock up to the cross country event in... Wat sal goed wat jy op jou voete sit as jy wil vinnig swem? Flippers. Can he rock up to the cross country event in his flippers and his water wings and his goggles and a nose plug? No. He's got to come up ready for the event that's going to take place. Is it nie so nie? Wat sal 'n sport soort is daar? Kom help my man. Oefen. Ja. Okay. So jy, kan jy na die gym toe gaan? Daar's geen weights nie. There's no free weights, barbells, dumbbells, other bells, ringing bells, leg apparatus, Smith machines, cable crossover machines. No, the equipment has to be there. You've got to come also ready. You've got to go. You've got to come there with a mindset, I'm ready. Then you come with your gymming gloves and your belt and your alles, you know, and your sterk like hempie and alles moet obvious. Ek wil net vir julle sê, daar is nie 'n hempie gemaak met die mens hande wat my sterk sal laat lyk nie. Daar bestaan net nie so hempie nie. So what's the point? When we come to church, I've got to come with a mindset. I've got to come ready. It's like, ek's maar hier so, because the vrou said I've got to be here. You know? When you miss church, do you miss church? When you miss church, do you miss church? May God help us to come ready. I want us to, just as the church, mens, jy kan so lank die krane oopmaak daarbo. Ons het goeie nuus vir die mense wat gedoop gaan word. Ons het warm water vir julle en so. Maybe on weather like this, jy soek koue water, but ja, as a church, we just repent and say, Lord, this was written. Who was this to? This was the church in Ephesus. This is written to us here in Drie Rivier. We are in Three Rivers, Lord. I'm gonna come, Lord, and I'm gonna repent. So right there where you're seated, I want us just to repent. And you know what that might mean for you. I'm sure somewhere, somehow along the line, the Holy Spirit has had something for you this morning. Say, God, I want to repent. Louis has spoken about it. Mozzie has spoken about it. The Spirit of God has been speaking to me this morning. I want something to change in my life, Lord God, where I repent. Where I repent, Lord. I want to return to my first love that burned with holy fear. It's not just the words of a song. I want it to be real in my heart and in my life, Lord. And when I sing the lyrics of a song, I want to mean it. I don't just want to tell you, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to bring your praise. I'm going to make your name bigger, Lord. I want to do it in my heart. I want to exalt you and give you your rightful place in my life and in this church. We want to do that, Lord God. Father, I repent of the times where I've drifted away from my first love, Lord. I want to repent of the times where the things of this world have just distracted me, Lord. I want to repent of the times where, Lord God, I've done anything that has just grieved your spirit, Lord God. I want to repent of that. I want it to change in my heart and in my life. I want to be at a place, Lord God, where you can grow me more. I want to be a better man, a better woman, a better child of God than I was last week, Lord. I want to be more loving. I want to be more caring. I want to be more sensitive to the needs of others. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, create a hunger and a thirst in me for the things of God like never before, Father. And Lord, this is not about performance. It's not about working for God or doing things for the Lord. It's just stepping into the plans and the purposes that you have for us. We want to worship you, Lord. We want to praise you and we want to bless you and honor you in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. As was written to the church in Ephesus and has been proclaimed to the church in Three Rivers, thank you for making the time to come this morning. Thank you for leaning forward and receiving what the Lord has for you. I pray that not one part of the precious gems of God's word will fall to the wayside in your life this morning, but that somehow it will find fertile soil in your heart and that it's going to change you. I mean, really, really change you. That the change starts here, goes down here, and that your life will never be the same again. To the praise and glory of God the Father. Love and appreciate you all. May He bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you His peace that surpasses all understanding. God willing, see each other same time, same place next week. And remember the funeral services that will be taking place upstairs. Come and support the folks there. We're going to be doing that in a couple of moments. But if you need to be on your way, God bless you. Have an awesome week. We love you all dearly. Thank you, folks.